and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington, D.C. A member of the Governing National Resistance Movement, or NRM, calls on Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni to carry out a cabinet reshuffle.
We don't want only one minister to be a sacrificed lamb. We need to see more ministers involved in this saga, arranging court.
Nigeria's Information Minister Lai Mohammed says the February 25th presidential election was the most transparent, credible and peaceful.
I think the just concluded general elections in Nigeria will go down in history as the most transparent and the most authentic elections ever held in the history of the country.
And the first female independent parliamentarian in Sierra Leone seeks re-election. We'll have details. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. In Uganda, a leading member of the Governing National Resistance Movement, or NRM, is calling on President Yoweri Museveni to carry out a cabinet reshuffle to rid the administration of corrupt officials. Parliamentarian Felix Adupa Ongwech says the failure to punish public officials caught in corruption is making the party unpopular. His remarks come after President Yoweri Museveni called for the prosecution of those responsible for the Karamoja iron sheet scandal. Mary Goretti Kitutu, the Minister for Karamoja Affairs, and two others have been charged with corruption and conspiracy to commit a felony. The minister is accused of diverting iron sheets meant for disaster victims for the Karamoja Community Empowerment Program. But critics of the government say she is being used as a sacrificial lamb. For more reaction to the calls for a cabinet reshuffle in the fight against corruption, I reach parliamentarian Felix Adupa Ongwech.
Well, first of all, we want to appreciate His Excellency, the President of the Republic of Uganda, General Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, for waking up from the sleep a very long time when the citizens are crying, complaining of overwhelming corruption in the country. There has been a serious divide of corruption that is eating the entire government system, right from the executive, the judiciary, the legislature. All arms of government are totally limping in terms of corruption. So this is one of the serious signs that he has woken up from his sleep and decided to take serious action within his cabinet. But also, it is not yet enough. We need to do a lot. We don't want only one minister to be a sacrificed lamb. We need to see more ministers involved in this saga, arranging court.
Well, Honorable Adupa, yes. the Speaker of Parliament and some cabinet ministers have also been mentioned in the scandal that involved the alleged theft of 5,500 iron sheets meant for disaster victims in the Karamoja region. Are you saying there should be more investigation and more people found to have been culpable or responsible for this corruption to be prosecuted?
In our criminal justice, in the Penal Code Act, being in possession of a stolen property, automatically you become a thief. You are supposed to be charged in court. So everybody who is in possession of that iron sheet, which was meant for Karamoja, whether you have got it rightfully from the office of the prime minister, but you are in possession of that iron sheet that was meant for Karamoja, you become a thief. So all of them should be charged and prosecuted in the court of law, because it looks very awkward for you to get what you're supposed not to get. In fact, everybody who are mentioned in that scandal, having knowing immediately that the iron sheet that they have received from office of the prime minister, it was meant for the people of Karamoja. If you are in a leadership position, the matter of integrity matters here. you should be an exemplary leader, even return the iron sheet even more. Then thereafter, even the Minister of Finance goes and makes a very shallow explanation before Parliamentary Committee of Presidential Affairs investigating the matter and say that the iron sheet phone is way in his compound, really, and he's still sitting in the cabinet. We have been agitating and informing the president that he needs to do overhaul of the cabinet. Those one who have been cited to have been participating in corruption deals should be kicked out of cabinet. He needs to clean the cabinet.
So, Honorable Adupa, as a member of the ruling party, are you calling for a cabinet reshuffle for those alleged to have committed acts of impropriety or financial embezzlement or financial malfeasance?
There should
be kicked out?
We are calling the national chairman of NRM, General Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, to do what it takes to reshuffle his cabinet, because this even spoiled the image of the ruling government. We are supporters of NRM, but people who are being implicated in corruption and scandals in this country are members of the ruling party. So the time we start waking up as members of the ruling party, it is the time we are going to clean the party. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult to go and convince people in the village that vote for NRM. Yet people in NRM are stealing things with impunity and nothing is done to them.
What do you say to critics of the NRM who are of the view that corruption has gone on for a long time and there seem not to be any action taken, and that it appears that as long as you are in the NRM, the institutions of government fight corruption appear not to touch them?
Some of us who are clear-minded, we are with a clear conscience, we are saying that it is not only Honorable Kitutu who's supposed to be arranging court alone. There are people who supposed, Prime Minister should be arranging court first. Minister of Finance should be supposed to be arranging court. Then we should realize that the party and the government and the executive is starting working seriously on corruption. Yes, she's the minister in charge of Karamoja, and that vote, she was a vote controller of those relief items. But being a vote controller of relief items, could the Prime Minister did not have even a courtesy of asking the Honorable Minister, but where are you getting all these iron sheets from? Was there not that courtesy? Why didn't the office of the Minister for Finance have a courtesy and say, you are giving me 3,000 iron sheets? For what? So all of them, they should feel guilty, and they supposed not to sit in the office. If in a society where people think about integrity, those ministers who are implicated are supposed to step aside and pave way for investigation if they know they are innocent.
Felix Adupa Ongwech is a parliamentarian from the Ugandan ruling party, NRM. He spoke with me from the capital, Kampala.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
Nigeria's Information Minister Lai Mohammed says the recently held February 25th presidential election was the most transparent, credible, and peaceful. This despite what he says were reports of pockets of violence and intimidation during the electoral process. President-elect Asiwaju Bola Ahmed Tinubu, a former Lagos State governor and presidential candidate of the ruling All Progressive Congress, or APC, was declared winner of the presidential vote. But former Vice President Atiku Abubakar and former Anambra State Governor Peter Obi have both filed petitions in court challenging the outcome of the presidential election. In a wide-ranging interview, Information Minister Lai Mohammed tells me that President Muhammadu Buhari has kept his promise to leave a legacy of credible elections. In part one of this interview, Mohammed spoke about the polls.
I think they just concluded general elections in Nigeria. Will go down in history as the most transparent and the most authentic elections ever held in the history of the country. And this is despite the attempts by the opposition to actually discredit the elections. And I'm glad you were there also. And why is this election the most credible? Why is this the most authentic, why is the most transparent? It's one, because technology was introduced, which helped in weeding out a lot of overvoting, multiple voting, illegal voting, underage voting, people who are voting with, used to vote with purchased or stolen, you know, voters' cards. Secondly, because a level playing ground was created for all the candidates. We had a president who had vowed to leave a legacy of an electoral fidelity when he was leaving, and he walked his talk.
So, Mr. Minister, what do you say to critics who say that the Beavers, as promised by INEC, that it will be used in the transmission of the results to ensure transparency, credibility, were not followed? Those instances of promises were not kept, and that is why they were saying there were voter irregularities. Some people say there were voter, you know, ballot snatching. Some people talked about the figures were massaged. Some people also said there were threats and intimidation. How do you respond to such criticisms, Mr. Minister?
I think, Peter, there's been a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of misconception about either Beavers or even IREV. Mm. And I think there are two different instruments. Right. Put it this way, with the Beavers, you can only vote once. With the Beavers, you cannot use a stolen voter's card to vote.
Right.
With the Beavers, you cannot use a purchased, you know, voter's card to vote. And that is why you see, even though about 87 million people received their permanent voter's card, with the Beavers, less than 25 million actually voted, because Beavers weeded out all these ghost workers. That means all these ghost voters.
So is technology to stay in Nigeria? Has it come to stay in Nigeria? And will we see more deployment of technology to increase the sanitation of the process to ensure more transparency and credibility and less challenge of election results in Nigeria?
Absolutely. I think Beavers has come to stay. IREV has also come to stay, which I'll come to explain that later. And I think as the world moves around, I mean, as the world moves forward, there'll be other technology. Don't forget that this time around, the INEC even tried to introduce, you know, online registration. The only problem with online registration today is that you must still at a point, you know, present yourself physically to be captured, to capture your biometrics. So yes, I'm sure we should from INEC even better technology than what we have today.
So talk to me about the challenge of the opposition, both the PDP, the People's Democratic Party, the main opposition party, and the Labour Party led by Governor Peter Obi have challenged the outcome of the election. They are in court. March 31st, I think, was the last time they could legally challenge it, or the cut-off date to challenge it. Both claim they won the election. What is your take on their challenge?
The Constitution of Nigeria is very clear. For you to win elections for presidency in Nigeria, you must fulfill two conditions. The first, that you must have the priority of votes. In other words, you must have scored the highest votes among all the candidates. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you must succeed in scoring one quarter of the votes cast in at least 25 states of the Federation. The only candidate that met that requirement is Ashwajibola Ahmed Tinubu, who scored 8.79 million votes. The next person was Abubakar Atiku, who scored 6.9 million votes, but was only able to score one quarter of votes in 21 states of the Federation. And Peter Obi came third with 5.8 million votes, but was only able to score one quarter of votes cast in 15 states of the Federation alone. So how can any of them now say they've won the election?
Lai Mohammed is Nigeria's information minister. He spoke with me from here in Washington. Join us on Sunday for the conclusion of the conversation. In Sierra Leone, the presidential candidate of the main opposition All People's Congress, or APC, says he is the most qualified to unite the West African country. Samora Kamara, a former foreign minister, says if elected, he would have a zero-tolerance policy for corruption by implementing measures to combat public graft. But critics say Kamara lacks the commitment to fight corruption since he faces graft charges himself. The former foreign minister and five others accused from the APC were charged with the misuse of public funds in the building of a New York chancery. Kamara says the charges are politically motivated to make him unpopular ahead of the coming June general election. In a wide-ranging interview, Samora Kamara talks to me about the human rights situation in Sierra Leone and his electoral prospects.
I don't think it is accurate to say things are improving in Sierra Leone at this material time. It is not accurate. But just most of the other reports are really giving us the reality on the ground. It depends also, for me, on who provides information to some of these institutions. I would rather prefer reports are based on the welfare of the typical Sierra Leonean.
So for a typical Sierra Leonean, what do you think the actual situation is? Because, as you rightly put it, reports we are hearing is that situation is improving. So what are people telling you as an opposition leader in Sierra Leone?
That definition of what is improving, I don't know. But my current situation is that we have two sets of challenges in Sierra Leone. We have those challenges that are of a long-standing nature, where up till today as a nation, after 60 years of independence, we cannot feed ourselves. We don't have drinkable water. We still continue to have poor roads. And then we cannot light up our towns, our villages, and our cities. We still have serious poverty strides, extreme poverty. Our economic growth has stalled at a slow pace. Now, these are the long-standing challenges of macroeconomic instability, of structural bottlenecks, and of finance, financing the government, financing the country's development program. Then you have today's own typical challenges, which are a creation of the government, by my estimation and observation. For instance, we have a lot of divisiveness in the country. There's a certain tendency to polarize the country within on a regional and ethnic basis. There's a tendency to over-politicize everything in Sierra Leone, which is wrong. Many of our people, all they want is an improvement in their living standards.
You talked about the economy. What do you say to those critics of yours who said you were part of an administration that ruled Sierra Leone for 10 years, two consecutive terms, and that if the country is now experiencing such challenges, that could be attributed to your government, previous government, because you ruled the country for 10 years, and that the fundamentals of the economy, your administration at that time did not put it right to ensure a positive trajectory of Sierra Leone at the moment. So who is to blame?
I think it did. I think it did. There was massive improvement. There were improvements. I can give you a historical trajectory of Sierra Leone, where we've come from since independence.
Now, some people are saying that your party itself is not united. You need to unite your party first before
it's the party is united now. More than ever.
Before you can unite the country. So what makes you the most qualified to unite Sierra Leone?
I'm not using the party.
Giving the opportunity.
I'm not using the party.
Okay.
I'm using myself as Samora Kamara, a Sierra Leonean.
Okay.
A Samora Kamara hook us across all the tribes in Sierra Leone, mm. with all friends all over. Yesterday, I had a video conference with the Creole Descendants Union. And it was very clear about my relationship with the Creoles. Mm. My relationship in the Southeast, my wife is from the Southeast, is from Pujeum.
Mm. Pujeum?
From Pujeum, Masangbaka, the Rogers. You understand? I've grown up with them. And I've been with my wife for over 40 years. Mm. My children are half Mende, half Timne. Samora Kamara's, in a way, manner of speaking, is uniquely from the North as well as from the East. I went to school in Bo, so I'm also from the South.
You went to Bo Boys?
I went to St. Andrews, UCC. Okay. I went there. So, honestly, I have a very strong affiliation in the Southeast. Now, the North, that's where my parents come from. In the West, I went to secondary school of St. Edward Secondary School. Then I went to university at Furabay College.
Furabay College.
I have a diversity of friends. And really, it is very difficult for anybody to pinpoint Samora Kamara as a tribalist, as somebody who encourages ethnicity, ethnic divide, and all the rest of it.
So what makes...
So as a leader...
Okay, good. What makes Samora Kamara uniquely qualified that you think Sierra Leoneans will repose confidence in you to be the next president?
This is one.
Okay.
My upbringing, my relationship with every part of the country. But most importantly, I think I'm the only political leader that has really grew up over 40 years in public policy management at the highest level. Started with the Central Bank, into the Ministry of Finance and Development, into the Central Bank, into Foreign Affairs. It's hard to see somebody like that. I think with this strong experience, I've served many governments, including President Bio's government, when he took over from Strasser. I came to rescue them.
Samora Kamara is the presidential candidate of the main opposition All People's Congress. He spoke with me from here in Washington. She is the first female independent parliamentarian in Sierra Leone. Emilia Lolo Tongi defied expectations when she decided to contest as an independent candidate after the Sierra Leone People's Party, or SLPP, chose a preferred parliamentary hopeful in the last election. But Tongi defeated both of the two male representatives of the two leading parties, the SLPP and the All Progressive Party, or APC, to be elected to parliament. She is now seeking re-election, but has returned to the SLPP to represent the ruling party in the coming June 24 general election. Irate parliamentarian Emilia Lolo Tongi in the Sierra Leonean capital Freetown as she steps up her campaign for re-election.
Was elected as independent member, and today I am the first female independent member of parliament ever in this country. I want to be re-elected this time around. But you know one thing, I was an SLPP, you know. When I made my request, I was SLPP. We were all contesting for the symbol. But the incumbent was very, very adamant. And for the fact that he knows a lot of friends, he convinced them and they believed he was the best. So they gave him the symbol. And we went into battle, and at the end of the day, I won.
Do you think you will be able to replicate what you did 5 years ago? Do you think your prospects of re-election are good?
As independent member on that symbol, no, because I was SLPP, and they have realized that they did a mistake. So I'm going back to my political party where I belong, and that's the SLPP. And for the fact that I have actually done a very, very good job, I've done my homework, and politics is not so actually, you know, being just there by the name, you know, honorable. Just do your job. So if you continue to work hard, both abroad, in the country and your constituency, I see no use why you cannot be re-elected. And this is exactly what I have done. In my constituency, I have built hospitals, I have built schools, I have built banks, because we, the three constituencies, don't have, you know, actually commercial banks, and people are spending so much money.
What lessons do you think women in Sierra Leone are drawing from you being the only independent female parliamentarian in seeking re-election?
What they actually have studied from me and they're getting from me is the fact that they've seen that that brave woman, that thick-skinned woman who doesn't care about names. We have the same qualification. We are human beings like them. So if she can do it and do not listen to all these names, those insults, those finger pointing at her, we can do it also. I've had so many, you know, seminars, you know, meetings. They've had me, you know, my topics, my talks, you know, about women empowerment. I've shown them that politics, yes, because we, you know, we are Africans. Women, you even when you hiss at them, they will cry the whole day. They don't want to be insulted. They don't want to be called names. But I have cleared that in their minds that it doesn't matter what they call you. Just focus. You want it, go for it, get it. Don't look at them anymore. And we are doing this campaign, sensitizing them to let them know politics, they need to join politics to help this country grow. And if women are among these decision takers, it will be better for the country. Because whatever men can do today, my friend, I don't know you, but women can do better.
What should be the expectations of residents of Kailahun if they decide to re-elect you as their representative in parliament?
Well, the expectation is this, that I continue to do better. You understand? That what I have taught the other ladies, what the other ladies have actually heard from me and have seen from me and want to copy me, you know, continue to the point of now trying to create an organization which we call Catch Them Young, you see? So they are expecting that we bring all these women together and I mean, for me to help them, you see, to empower them, you know, morally and spiritually, for them to be stronger. Because parliament is not an easy place, so for you to stand up and talk in parliament is not easy. But me around them, they believe they will do better, and they will be encouraged. They will be, you know, pampered, and I will take fear from them.
Emilia Lolo Tongi is an independent parliamentarian. She spoke with me from the Sierra Leonean capital, Freetown. Ghana has deployed 1,000 special forces to its northern border with Burkina Faso after gunmen this week shot at immigration officers in a border town, killing one. The attack has sparked fears that Islamist militants in Burkina Faso are stirring up unrest to expand in the region. For VOA, Kent Mensah reports from the Ghanaian capital, Accra.
A 40-year-old ethnic conflict between the Mamprusi and Kusasi people over a chieftaincy seat in Boku, an hour drive from the Burkina Faso border with Ghana, has escalated into a war, reportedly involving foreign combatants, which has left over 30 people dead between December and April, according to local police records. Experts say the porous borders and smuggling routes have become major threat to the peaceful atmosphere in Ghana, as Islamist militants take advantage of political instability in Ouagadougou to expand their frontiers in coastal West Africa from the Sahel region. Amadou Hamza, the mayor of the border town of Boku in the Upper East region of Ghana, tells VOA that the last security situation at Unmanned Entry Point is worrying.
The challenge we have is that there are a lot of loopholes where there could be a permanent post there. However, the government of Ghana, for one or two reasons, have not gotten enough resources to be able to have those permanent soldiers policing those areas to prevent the jihadis.
He said the internal conflict coupled with the instability in Burkina Faso have adversely affected the town's once thriving economy, making the unemployment situation worse and young people more vulnerable to recruitment by Islamist militants.
So there's a complete reduction in the general economy of Boko. Majority of the people can come in from Burkina. Majority of the people can also come in from Togo, Niger, and Mali. People from Boko can also cross. Only few of them risk their life to go. The fear is that when you go, the jihadists will kill. And unemployment is a major cause of the jihadists for them to get you and recruit you into their camps.
Mama Yariga is a member of parliament representing a district in Boko and a member of the opposition National Democratic Congress, NDC. He says terrorists are knocking on Ghana's door from volatile northern frontiers and is calling on the government to channel more resources toward resolving the decades-long ethnic conflict within Boko.
After this talk about terrorism, you have a problem. You are not focusing your resources on it. You are not concerned about the lives of people in Boko that are dying. You are concerned about terrorists crossing over. I mean, come on. Are you saying that the Ghana Armed Forces cannot manage that small geographical space? That's my real fundamental problem.
As the Ghanaian government increases its security presence in Boko by sending more troops to ensure safety, Adib Sani, the executive director of the Jatike Center for Peace Building, said officials must focus more on improving the lives of the locals by providing them with basic amenities.
So access to education is key. Access to basic necessities of life, food, water, sanitation, shelter, etc. Especially opportunities for young people who are largely unemployed and sit under trees to talk the whole day and they have guns on them.
Ghana has so far been spared direct attack linked to Islamist militants in Burkina Faso. But with Boko fast becoming the epicenter of violent attacks on citizens, especially women and children, the security agencies are pressed to up their game to protect its 144,000 inhabitants and secure the borders. Kent Mensah for VOA News, Accra, Ghana.
Listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clotty, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, healthcare workers in Zimbabwe have condemned the government's plan to criminalize their recruitment to work in other countries as part of efforts to reduce a medical brain drain. Zimbabwe's Vice President and Health Minister Constantino Chiwenga says the country will introduce a law to make it illegal for foreign nations to hire their healthcare workers. For VOA, Colombo's Mavunga reports from the Zimbabwean capital, Harare.
Zimbabwe's Association of Doctors for Human Rights says any attempt to prevent healthcare workers from leaving the country for better jobs would be illegal. The head of the association, Dr. Nomen Matara, told VOA Friday the government's plan to criminalize foreign recruitment of healthcare workers was shocking.
Also in our own constitution, the Zimbabwean constitution, it actually guarantees that the citizens have the right to move freely within the country or leave. So we don't know why those comments were being made by the Honorable Minister of Health. The government continue to use scare tactics and a command approach to solving healthcare problems.
Matara was responding to comments Wednesday by Zimbabwe's Vice President Constantino Chiwenga. Chiwenga, who doubles as health minister, said the government would introduce a law against foreign recruiting of its healthcare workers to address a medical brain drain.
If one deliberately recruits and makes the country suffer because it lacks the required professionals, that's a crime against humanity. If people die in hospitals because there are no nurses and doctors, and somebody who has been so irresponsible of not training their own nationals, but wanting poor countries to train for them, it's a crime. That must be taken seriously.
Matara stresses that Zimbabwe's healthcare workers are choosing to leave.
The government should note that health workers are not being pulled away from the country, but they are being pushed away by the meager salaries that they are getting. They are being pushed by the worsening economic crisis in the country. They are being pushed away by the poor working conditions in the country, lack of equipment, lack of sundries, lack of medicines in the hospitals that they work in. We urge the government to improve the working conditions, pay a living wage. You will see that people will not leave the country.
Justina Shawa is a nurse who's leaving Zimbabwe in May for better work in Canada.
If we were being given enough money, I don't think anybody would want to leave their families, leave their relatives and go work abroad. But at the end of the day, we all want to achieve good things in life. We all want to buy houses. We all want to buy cars. And we also want to send our kids to good schools. So we're failing to do all that. That's the reason why we are reaching out to recruiters. They've done nothing wrong. They're actually helping us to achieve certain things in life.
Zimbabwe's Health Services Board said in November more than 4,000 nurses left the country since 2021. The Zimbabwe Medical Association says the country has only 3,500 doctors for a population of almost 16 million people. Healthcare workers regularly go on strike over poor pay and working conditions. Zimbabwe's government says it does not have enough funds for raises and better equipment, and in January made it illegal for healthcare workers to strike for more than 3 days. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
Multiple award-winning Ghanaian artist Denin Hedem Hoto, popularly known by his music alias Edem, recently started a U.S. tour. He will be performing at multiple venues in Washington, D.C. and networking with several prominent entertainers, among them multiple award-winning musicians Swizz Beatz and Jim Jones. The 36-year-old musician this week visited VOA, where he sat down with my colleague Mike Hovey to discuss his trip to the U.S., his recent appearance at the Grammys, possible collaborations with American artists, and a recent announcement that he is running for public office.
So I'm in the U.S. to really just accelerate my presence here visually for media tours, appearances, activations, networking. It's safe to say America has been nice to me since I got here.
Talk to us about these networks, man. What's going on?
My team has been putting together some pipelines to some people of interest for collaborations. All this and more is the reason I was in L.A. to meet Swizz Beatz. Mm-hmm. I also met Paul Exton, who is the producer of Narcos, the series, to look at probable collaborations of how African music can be put in Hollywood. We left L.A. and then we moved to Harlem to pay respect to Dipset's own Jim Jones. Also had conversations and did some stuff in the pipeline that's hopefully the world will check out.
We're ready for that. Well, speaking of Afrobeat and how successful it's becoming, how do you feel seeing it right now? You guys are doing stadiums everywhere now.
Yeah, I think this is the greatest time to be alive as an African artist. Growing up, you will be in the club, and don't get it twisted, I love other forms of music, but you hear sessions in the club dominated by other art forms. And so for you to now walk into the African clubs and literally hear music from Kenya, Tanzania, Nigeria, Ghana, and across board all through the night, and then leave the shores, come to the US or go to Europe, and it's the same thing. It's a very powerful time.
Do you think that the spotlight on Afrobeat, or the spotlight on Africa in general, is helping people from different genres, not just the typical sound that we think is Afrobeat.
I think there's a lot of more work to be done, but I think that Afrobeat is the opener, just like the way you might fall in love with reggae and then go, and out of that love for reggae, you find calypso.
You recently put out Pundits.
Yes.
Break us down the song. What's up?
Yeah, so Pundit is a song just speaking to...
You sound like you were taking jabs at people.
I was really taking jabs at people who sort of like have a very small ambition and then despise people who have limitless ambition. So Pundit came from me coming to the Grammy and a couple of people talking about the fact that they think that I shouldn't be at the Grammy. Now, the funny thing about life is that nobody is more deserving than another. But somehow, people always think they are more deserving to be in your seat than you have, without really looking at your record and looking at the amount of sleepless nights you put in to be there. So Pundit is for people like that.
So now to shift from the music, man, you recently put out something on social media where you kind of told people, well, you didn't say actually much, but you hinted to people that you might want to tap into a little politics here and there. What's up with that, man?
Yeah, so I did a social experiment. I was thinking about the political landscape and I was having just conversations with myself, and I decided to put out a flyer for the opposition party. Then when the flyer came out for the opposition party, what I realized was that in the comment section, people who were for the incumbent government came for me, and people who were with the opposition were giving me thumbs up. But one thing I noticed was a lot of people really wanted me to actually run for political office, not because it was me, but because they wanted a lot of young people in positions. Then I announced with the second flyer, some of the things I learned from the experiment was, one, if we get the same support for the creative arts, we'll achieve more than the politicians. Young people are really politically driven, but are not given the mandate to be able to do it practically.
My follow-up question is, are you going to heed the people's call?
Never say never.
Do you think there's space for entertainers in politics?
I think there's space for anybody with political experience, the political acumen and resume to be able to run. I don't think it should be about being an entertainer.
That was Edem, a multi-award-winning Ghanaian musician. He spoke with my colleague Mike Hovey from our studios in Washington, D.C. To watch the full interview, visit our website, voaafrica.com, on our YouTube channel, VOA Africa.
Stay engaged with VOA Africa. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, comments, or greetings. Dial the international code +1 then 202-258-3076. The number again is the international code +1 then 202-258-3076.
Right now, it's time for music from our African collection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go get him.
Yeah.
Ice.
Zamani.
Special delivery. What up, Casper? Official African remix.
Yeah.
Go get him.
Before you go, make I give you for the last one. Baby, tell me what you want. That you want it from the front, but you want it from the back, and I make I give you for the last one.
Delivery, and meaning Adam White Pillow, Ice Freeze, that's Casper. don't stop. Lights, camera, action, can we go right? To be a doom, we can cut them or retire. Dead tire, coming on, city girl get fire. City girl when I'm go down. Pray no be until the collection. I'm a lady, up on the book, you get play they shit, they go find two face for a gig. Go get them, don't be a no better. And them, make man them go gaga. Tell them, you come at you not to cut out. Go to up a woo, you know, Gucci and Prada. Yoda.
Tell me what you want, that you want it from the front, that you want it from the back, and I give you for the last, and I to Utah. You see me feeling myself, I'm baby. I need a bookie, them I call me shady. But that's why I'm giving them weary. I see your shorty with my man, them early. She define nigga with the dollars and CDs. I never nigga with the promo copy CD. I pop more bottles and I shake them freely. I'm in the house, Zixpan Tweeny. But Shabby, you been nothing, I be friends with Edem. The R to the D's from the day I met them. Mama, you already know that I'm a cool cat. I roll with the G's, never pull back. 100 degrees with a Tupac. Bad man, I never do that. Make a good cut. Baby, tell me what you want. Do you want it from the front? Do you want it from the back? And make a give it for the last. And
baby girl, I'm tired. Do you want it from the front, back, or center? Cause right now I'm tense. If you give me a little of your time, I'll give you a night you remember. We living from the front, back, or center. Cause that's how we enter. If you not with us, then you not a member.
You want it from the back of that? I give me girls drive a world, she can take a now. One time to mine. All I like hang out, pack your life.
Go pack your life. I was on vacay and we met on Easter. I was like, woo, head on deeper. I know this might be your stereotype, but ooh, girl, you give me that yellow
make
fever.
Make a give me for the last of that. Baby, tell me what you want. Do you want it from the front? Do you want it from the back of that? Make a give me for the last of that.
When I'm on the road, get a water, but they know they keep coming. Me, my team, we need out, and we do a timer. When they see me, they salute it, don't matter. Drip, Benz boy, we go per sec. That explains all the swag. Dress code all white, but gamble than the squad go pull up in black. I hit up to Lincoln for sex. The stubborn boys at the back. I pull up for your side, all draped up, looking dope. And I'm on the road.
Wait, inside,
we be grinding in the streets for the squatter. Better for this side, yeah, Pekasa. See my chick, call it Shada, Gucci Prada.
When I'm on the road, way a Shada. Ghetto boy, but I know they give gaba. Nima to Medina, all the way to Bashima. When they see me, they salute it, don't daughter. When I'm on the road, way a Shada. Ghetto boy, but I know they give gaba. Nima to Medina, all the way to Bashima. When they see me, they salute it, don't daughter.
They can see we from afar. I'm protected by Jah Almighty Father. They can see we from afar. I let them understand away and the mighty Father. Them can see we from afar. Protected by Jah Almighty. Almighty Father. Them can't see we from afar. I let them understand that we in the Mighty Father. Told them again, them a burn in the fire. We never sell out, cause man a real buyer. Them set the roadblock under my tire. Yo, me have something for you.
God and protect me.
Them have nothing for you. Tell bad mind. Christ them have been fine. Kneel and pray, or else them are gonna die. And follow the righteous yeah. way. From afar, I'm protected by Jah, Almighty Father. Them can't see we from afar. I let them understand that we in the Mighty Father. Them can't see we from afar. Protected by Jah, Almighty Father. Them can't see we from afar. I let them understand that we in the Mighty Father. When we see we in the chaos of the man Gomorrah, we drop in the tank out till the game is over. Tell them say we supercharged like a Range Rover. We seal on the wings of Jehovah.
You know, so me, I live my life for you. Put everything on the line for you. You know, so me, I live my life for you. Put everything on the line for you. Do me a favor. Do me a favor. Do me a favor. And walk out the
was music from the continent, and we hope you enjoyed it.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Mike Hovey, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, the soup does not move round in an elderly person's belly. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa.